Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll continue to rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is good. Lord is wonderful. Lord is kind. God is so awesome, and we are thankful to God for another day's journey. We are still counting down the days. We're getting ready soon to hit double digits. Amen. But today is day eight. Day eight of our time of fasting and prayer together, 40 days of fasting and prayer, day eight on the journey. I hope and pray you all are blessed this Thursday morning, and thank you so much for joining us for our time of prayer and a brief word, amen. And so I'm going to get right to the word. The word this morning is coming to us from the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and I want to read in your hearing verses 23 and 24. In your own personal private time with God, I would that you would read the entire fourth chapter of John, which I know will be a blessing for your life. But for our time, I want to read verses 23 and 24 of John, chapter 4. Now I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Here's what the word of the Lord says. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Word of God for people of God, thanks be to God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about real worship. Real worship. Beloved, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's a lot of you Bible readers out there, where Jesus comes and meets this woman at the well, engages in conversation with this woman at the height of noonday, and they begin in their conversation to talk about various things. But one of the things that caught my eye this morning is his conversation with this Samaritan woman about worship. Jesus helps the Samaritan woman understand that real worship does not concern geography. Verse 21, Jesus says, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. So Jesus shows us that God is more concerned not with where you worship, but more so how you worship. And I believe that Jesus wants us to learn a different approach to worship. That it's not about location or place of worship more than unlocking the limits of our worship. So have you really worshiped God the right way? Has your worship truly been real? Is there some form of, performance in our worship? Or are we unlocking the limits of what real worship is supposed to be? Y'all know I'm from Georgia, amen, and so I thought about this morning. Willie Neil Johnson in the Gospel Keynotes had a song called This Is Just a Rehearsal. When we get to heaven, we're going to really sing, amen. That's the quartet side of me, amen. That what we're doing in worshiping God is a precursor to how we will worship God in glory. But if our worship is not real here, will we be prepared for worship over there? So the relevant question this morning is, what does the text tell us about real worship? And what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? Beloved, I believe there are three things quickly I want to lift up that I believe will help us to really know that how to do real worship and to really know how to worship God. Number one, we must recognize a clause of verse 24, that God is spirit. God is spirit. We know from verse 23 that God seeks worshipers. He seeks certain kinds of worshipers. And in seeking certain kinds of worshipers, we must first understand that God is spirit. Now, what that means is God is not physical. It means that God has no limits. This means that God is transcendent, which means that God exists outside of the boundaries of the physical universe. So when we approach God to worship him, we cannot in any way tie God down to a specific location. In verse 20 of John chapter 4, the woman at the well says, "Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Beloved, she approached a limitless God with limits. She approached a limitless God in worship in ways that does not show the transcendent nature of God. And have we done the same? Have we approached a limitless God with limits? The limits of location, the limits of just making sure we lift up holy hands in worship. God is limitless, and so we then must take the limits off our worship. So we must recognize, one, that God is spirit, and that God is transcendent, and that God is not physical, but is beyond the boundaries of the universe. The other thing, if you're going to make your worship real, is not only recognizing that God is spirit, but it's right here in verse 24B clause. It says that those who worship must worship in spirit, or in the spirit. B clause of verse 24, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit. Stop right there. Some people think that this part is about the thrills and theatrics that come with performative and perfunctory forms of worship. That unless somebody's cut the latest two-step, or unless somebody has, you know, shouted out the loudest, or given chills and thrills in worship settings, that's what real worship is. But that's not necessarily real worship. Since God is spirit, we are required to worship God in spirit. What does that mean? That means we must have a spiritual encounter with God, that our worship must be spiritually focused. In other words, beloved, when we worship God, the question that should be asked is not the questions that the Samaritan woman asked, you know, is it this mountain or that mountain? Or, you know, our ancestors worshiped on this mountain and I must worship in Jerusalem. She asked the wrong questions. The question that should be asked is, the requirement of worshiping God in spirit means spiritual worship, which means what is my attitude when I worship God? Another question we should be asking ourselves in order to give God real worship is, what is my motivation for worshiping God in spirit? Because reality is, beloved, if you're the kind of worshiper that gives God praise in the moment, and get the chills and thrills due to the theatrics of the moment, and you do perfunctory performances in worship places, but then your attitude has not changed, and your motivation was never the focus of the limitless God, but your motivation was trying to outdo your neighbor, then you've never been in a place of real worship. A lot of people have gotten caught up in mindless ritual forms of worship. But God wants worship that has substance. God wants us to be spiritually minded, to have the right attitude, the right motivation. Worship is not an occasional occurrence, but it is a lifetime of service, focusing constantly on the Lord. In order to have a spiritual mind or have a spiritual-minded nature, you have to renew your mind on a daily basis through the Word of God. And therefore, your attitude and your motivation will line up to that of the limitless God. Here's the final thing I want to show you, beloved. Real worship is recognizing that God is limitless, that God is spirit. He is not physical. Recognizing the fact that when we worship him, we must worship him in spirit, that it's not about thrills and chills as much as it's about attitudes and motivation. And not about our ritualistic forms of worship that become rote and routine, but we are now open in our expression because we know who God is. We have substance to our worship. We are spiritually minded. But notice the last thing Jesus says about worship is that God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Some translations say, and in the truth. Notice this, we worship God in spirit, but it's also a requirement that we worship God in one truth. One truth. Here's what I think that means. That means don't be so tradition-based in your worship that you're not becoming truth-based in your worship. In other words, beloved, the tradition can take over the truth. And the reality is, what should motivate us to worship, what should put us in the proper position and spiritual mindset for worship is based upon the truth that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. What should give us fuel for spiritual worship is the truth and knowing God for ourselves. It means taking time to understand Scripture and allow that Scripture to formulate a solid foundation and belief, and allow that solid foundation and belief to feed you and to give you the doctrine necessary to live by godly principles. When you worship God, you are not worshiping God out of a traditional base, but you're worshiping God based on the truth of who you know God to be. And so, beloved, when you combine that together, you see that God is spirit. He is limitless. His worshipers must worship him in spirit. Our focus is on the Lord, my attitude, my motivation, not thrills and chills, but my attitude and my motivation is to give God praise, substantive praise that is spiritually minded. And in the truth, one truth, knowing God is real, understanding the Scriptures, living by godly principles. When you put that combination together, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter the place or the time. In fact, you can worship God right here, right now, because these elements are what make worship real. Let's pray, beloved. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come this morning with grateful hearts. We come, Lord God, grateful for the understanding of your word. And thank you for the lesson that has been taught to us today. And Lord God, we want to be real in our worship. We want our worship to be real. We don't want, Lord God, to just be caught up in something that is traditional, that takes us away from the truth. We don't want to be caught up, Lord God, in anything that's more so about theatrics than it is about being spiritually minded, with the substantive nature of us having the right attitude and motivation for worship. And then, Lord, we recognize that you are spirit, and so we must worship you as spirit, that you are limitless in all your ways. And so thank you, Lord, for giving us the essence of what real worship is. Now help us, Lord, to worship you in this way. God, we love you today, and we bless your holy and righteous name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Listen, this is just a rehearsal. When we get to heaven, we're going to really sing. Amen. Y'all should look up Willie Neil Johnson. It'll bless your life. A little country. Amen. But it's good. It's good. Amen. God bless you. Have a smile upon you. Have a great day on today. Today is day 8. God be praised. I look forward to talking to you in the morning. Amen.